Welcome to the 7X Wrestling Show. I am your host, Extremist, and I'm being joined by Sarcasm Timmy 5000 Degrees. What is up, guys?
Hey!
I will not make bad puns.
Yes, you will.
You made me write down on the wall 1,000 times.
You misspelled puns.
Fuck. No, don't make me write more.
Now that we've gotten the random stuff out of the way, how are you doing tonight, X?
Yes, we are reviewing WWE Monday Night Raw. We had Randy Orton come out for the opening promo. And he was saying that if John Cena was going to screw him over at Survivor Series, then what Cena needs to do is come out and tell it to his face. So Cena comes out, right? And he said that and Cena just basically repeated the stipulation. He's like, you know, I'll be fired if Wade Barrett loses the match. And, you know, and then if he does do what he needs to do, then, you know, he'll be out of Nexus. And then Orton just tells Cena, like, basically, this is your way of saying that you're going to screw me over at Survivor Series. And then he said that Cena would be the biggest phony in the WWE, and it would be disrespectful to every champion that's held the belt, including himself. And Cena's like, oh, no, the Nexus is running the show, blah, 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 blah. And then Barrett comes down with the Nexus. And he said that he'll give Cena the choice and whatever he wants to. What the fuck? I don't care about this shit, really. It's the same shit over and over again. Orton, Cena, and the Nexus, you know. Anyways, the non-show manager chimes in, and Cole says that there's going to be a tag team match tonight. Orton will choose his partner, Barrett will choose his partner, and Cena's a ref. Your guys' thoughts on this segment?
First of all, I hate to say this, but Cena doesn't have to answer to nobody. I mean, especially to Orton. My God. Him bitching out to Orton just makes me want a heel turn to happen even more. Randy Orton, the same guy that tried to blow up John Cena bragging rights 1 year ago. The same guy that just 2 weeks ago RKO'd him after giving him the belt. In all honesty, Cena should have come out and said, hey, you know what, bitch? You should have RKO'd me. Now you're SOL. See ya. But no, he's like, maybe you had the stipulation. I get fired. The belt goes. No, it shouldn't have been like that. He should have said, well, maybe you shouldn't have been a dickhead. You're screwed. Not my fault. Bye-bye. End of segment, but no. No.
Okay. I thought I actually enjoyed this segment. You know, you always see this all the time, like you said already, but I actually enjoyed this segment for once. I thought Cena played these characters well. But again, I don't know why Cena's... I don't know why Cena's pleading to, Orton. Come on, let's just remember. Didn't this say the same guy tried to blow him up last year? I mean, I know, they always try to regard storylines, but I do still check by how storylines are going. But I thought it was a well-placed segment. Even though Cena and Orton do bore me at times, I thought they both really did good on the mic today. And I actually enjoyed the segment. I enjoyed Barrett coming out too. So it was a well-played segment, and I enjoyed it. So yeah, it was all right.
The best part about this entire segment was the AOL GM 4.0 chiming in and ending it. It was 11 minutes. The only saving grace of this thing was that it only ran for 11 minutes. Honestly, the way they were going, I thought that was just going to be a 30-minute friggin' segment. I don't care about rehashing. I mean, this is what you're going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks. Or is it 2 weeks? I don't care. Still, too many weeks. Too many weeks you're going to be talking about this thing. So what? And I agree 100% with Demi and Degrees. You should have just come out and been like, you should have come out, well, you know, I mean, I got this thing with Nexus, and the only good thing about it is that I'm going to get to screw you over, Orton. If he did that, I would have actually been happy with this whole with the whole segment, because it could have ended right there with Orton's jaw on the floor, like, oh wow, he's actually growing a backbone. Screw it.
All right, this brings us to the first match of the night. We had Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel in the Hart Dynasty. Slater and Gabriel get the win after Gabriel hits the 450 splash on Kidd. And once again, there's no heel turn here between the Hart Dynasty. They're going to continue to play this shit out over several weeks, it seems. You guys' thoughts?
Don't insult my intelligence, please. WWE, please don't insult my intelligence. This is the Hart Dynasty. Okay, granted, they're not the greatest tag team in the world ever, but in order for them to mess up this badly tonight, they either had to be high, drunk, or retarded. And they didn't look either. Don't insult my intelligence. Don't tell me they're just going to hit each other with their own moves in the middle of a match. No. I'm going to pretend this was a dream sequence and none of that happened.
Oh, you're done already?
Why? Nothing happened.
It didn't happen very quickly.
Yeah, it didn't happen. Nothing happened.
Okay. Yeah, nothing happened, but it was a decent, balanced tag team match. But it really did make the Hart Dynasty look like weak. They looked weak. Because it's the same guys that hold the title for about six or five months. And they really made them look weak. But I did like the moves that both... I forgot their names. But I did like the both of the moves those guys did. But, you know... You know, fuck it. I don't care.
I think we have our new theme of the night. Fuck it. I don't care. I think that works for the theme tonight. But honestly, I mean, this was a possibility to have a really good tag match, to really have these guys kind of show their stuff, because everyone in this match needed to show as a strong competitor for storylines down the road. And instead, we got a generic, very generic match with probably one of the worst spots I've seen in a long time near the end of it. I mean, that whole Davey Hart Smith slightly bumping into Heath Slater, and it was just, the whole thing was just so badly done. I mean, everything was way off timing on it, and it just... Their spots don't – I mean, in the last couple of weeks, the Hart Dynasty spots, they don't look so good. I mean, when they do those weird spots that aren't supposed to work out well, they don't do them so well. When the spots are supposed to work, they work. They look beautiful when they're – I don't know. It just makes no sense to me. And the whole thing was just a waste of my time. You could have had a great match with these guys. All you had to do was make up the time for it. Cut the freaking Cena shit off.
Okay, we had the backstage with R-Truth and John Cena, and R-Truth's like, come on, Cena, we're friends now, we're friends. I'm like, what the fuck ever, who cares? And then Truth is like, Cena, what are you going to do at Survivor Series? And then Cena just walks away without answering. And we get a Del Rio promo, and then Sheamus comes out. And he was talking about his loss. Sheamus was shocked about losing to Santino last week, and he challenged Santino to come out and once again beat him one more time. So Santino comes out, right? And he's wearing this fucking gay shirt. And then
come on, that was some, Miami Vice stuff right there.
Fuck that shit. Anyways, Santino, you know, we get this usual, this stupid attempt at comedy here, him saying he ate too much candy for Halloween, and then Santino brings out Vladimir Kozlov. So we get this match between Sheamus and Kozlov. Sheamus gets the win over Kozlov, and then after the match, Sheamus stalks Santino up the entrance ramp, and then John Morrison comes out as soon as Sheamus was about to hit him with the Irish curse off of the ramp. And my thoughts on this is, come on, I wanted Santino to be thrown off of the stage. But no, John Morrison had to ruin it for us. But anyways, your guys' thoughts.
I actually didn't mind Morrison. You know, a Morrison-Sheamus feud is looking pretty good in the near future. I mean, we saw the epic match they had a couple weeks ago where Morrison had that great spot on the stage, well, being thrown off stage, and then we had, you know, last week Morrison somehow made Sheamus lose to Santino. So this could be a good way to get Morrison in the main event scene because he needs a good push, and Sheamus could be the one to do it. So I actually had no problem. As for Sheamus versus Kozlov, I zoned out because Kozlov is boring in the ring. But still better than a certain three-letter wrestler who thinks he's awesome.
Okay.
And Santino should not fucking talk. End of statement.
Yeah, I've made it clear that I'm not Santino's biggest fan before. But I thought his jokes sucked as usual. The match sucked. But what I enjoyed about this is the way how this whole Morrison Sheamus feud looks like. It looks like it's going. But like you said, X, I would have loved to see Sheamus throw Santino off that thing, because I can't stand the guy, man. The guy's not funny. He's just absolutely boring. But you know, it's a good feud, but it looks like it's going to building up to a good feud. That's all I have to say for this. I don't know, man. I'm off my game today.
Sorry.
Yeah, go on. My bad. Go on.
This is another example, like the last match, which could have had a great match and really gotten the guys over. This is the same kind of match. I mean, you got two big behemoths that could just go at each other and just go to town at each other. Give them 15 minutes. Give them 10, 15 minutes to really show their stuff. And what do you get? You get pretty much what was the total time frame on that match? Probably about 5-6 minutes. It's just not fair. Why is there not more wrestling? Give me more wrestling. You got a roster of 20 something guys on it, and you don't show any of them because you got too much. Because you spend half the show with Cena's face plastered on the screen. I get it that Morrison is going to be making a feud with Sheamus. Okay, I get it. That's fine and dandy. You could have had a decent match up to that point, but you didn't have that. You had this stupid crap that you do in the WWE where it's all punches and kicks, and they all look weak as hell, and nobody looks like they know what the hell they're doing in the ring. Ah! Drives me freaking crazy.
All right. Then backstage, R-Truth talks to Randy Orton. And I was thinking to myself, what the fuck does R-Truth have to do with this? Well, we find out in this segment. Truth said that he had a funny feeling that Cena will look Orton right in the eyes as it counts Wade Barrett victorious at Survivor Series. And then Orton was asking Truth for it to be his tag team partner for tonight. And Orton said that he and Cena haven't exactly gotten along. So he was curious to know whether or not Cena would treat a friend. So okay, we get Drew team up with Orton later on. Your guys' thoughts on the development here?
R-Truth is your friend.
Friend.
Listen, Orton. I'm telling you. We ain't seen our friends. And I'm telling you. He's gonna hurt you, man. Now let's go get crunked up. That's what's up. Because we friends, right, Orton?
I'm sorry. I'm a huge R-Truth man, but these segments were stupid as shit.
Oh, shit.
R-Truth, you're a good wrestler. Just shut the fuck up, please.
But damn, I thought we were friends. Where's Eve Torres? Is she my friend?
Oh, shit.
I'm happy for more Sid beating up Sheamus because he's my friend.
Fuck. Degrees.
My friend.
Degrees is my
friend. Let me, man.
Degrees is my friend.
Oh, shit. Degrees. Save us.
Okay. Me now. You know, truth bitching or something like that. I don't even know what the guy's doing. At least he got to the main event today, so that's all right for him. So I really don't really have nothing else to say about this. Orton, okay on the mic. R-Truth, he does need to shut the fuck up. I mean, you know, he's got all that talent in the ring. You know, yeah, it's true, though. He's got all that talent in the ring. He doesn't need to rap when he comes into the ring. They're ruining him. If they want to push him, they're ruining him because he needs to have less mic time. And that's one of the first times I'm saying this about a certain wrestler, because other wrestlers I'm saying who should get pushed should have more mic time. And if they're going to push this guy, he needs to have less mic time. So that's all I have to say about that whole segment.
You know what? You're absolutely right. He needs less mic time, and he needs to. And you know who else needs less mic time? Is his other friend, John Morrison. And I think between the two of these guys, they're a perfect candidate for having a decent manager. I think having a decent manager come out there and, you know, be the mouthpiece for those two guys would be fantastic. And, you know, it's kind of a lost art in WWE, but I'd love to see it come back for some of these guys that maybe don't have the mic skills to really get themselves over, but can get it done in the ring and just need somebody to kind of give them that little push. So, you know, it's just something I would think. But,
can
you know,
manager be my friend?
Yeah, yes, the manager can be your friend.
One thing about managers, Shelton Benjamin at the time, he definitely needed a manager. And nothing like, you know, the whole mum thing, comedy manager. He really needed a manager, serious, because this guy was so talented in the room. But he's had so poor mic skills. He really needed a manager at the time.
Where are the Jim Cornettes? Like, let's bring out the Jim Cornettes, you know. Let's bring out those kind of guys. The guys that would get in there and fuck it, who cares? It's a lost art in the WWE. I don't think we're going to see it anymore. I mean, the closest thing we have to a manager at the moment is Paul Bearer and Fatty and the funny.
You've been buried alive.
Yes, Fatty McTurkey neck with the warble.
Can
so
Paul
we got
Bearer
Fatty McTurkey. you might want to work on that, actually, because therefore you actually have someone who can work some mic for you. And the funny thing is that the only manager in the entire company at the moment is on a guy who can work the mic without one.
Yeah, exactly.
Kane is one of the only guys who actually doesn't need a manager or a speech coach because he's already nailed this thing down to a science, and he's the only one with a freaking manager.
I hate to get off topic. But Kane, like, if you look at progression, he went from not talking at all to being godly on the mic. I'm sorry, I just had to say something there.
Yeah,
it was acting training he did. You can tell it's the acting training. Anyway, R-Truth, he's looking for friends in all the wrong places. And unfortunately, he found one in Randy Orton, which basically means he's going to get RKO'd at some point in the very near future.
And that's what's up.
He's going to get bucked.
And this next segment here was probably everyone's favorite in Timmy's live chat, because fucking Lita returned, and I hate your live chat for saying Lita every 5 fucking seconds, Tim. What the fuck?
Fuck,
have
you control
over your goddamn live chat.
Listen, have some talent for beautiful women who can wrestle. I know it's been a long time since we had one besides Natty and
Lita. Lita was good, damn it, but still, fuck.
Okay then, so you know what? If they want hot women, let's give them hot women.
Exactly.
Anyone on my chat, I approve you. Please keep chanting Lita. Keep chanting Lita. Go to WWE and chant Lita some more.
Lita,
my friend.
Oh, shit.
Lita can be my friend.
I got a feeling that Fwend will be a recurring joke on the podcast, but let's move on to the third match. Big Zeke returning to singles action, taking on the Tool, Zack Ryder, and Zeke wins with the one-handed choke slam shit that he does. Your guys' thoughts?
Let's take a moment of silence because Zack Ryder was murdered tonight. He was murdered. You don't get slammed by Big Zeke. You get killed. Big Zeke doesn't slam you. He rips your soul out and leaves it in the sky while your body falls down. Big Zeke does not make, you don't wrestle Big Zeke in a match. Big Zeke chooses to see if you can last more than 3 seconds. I'm just saying, Big Zeke is a big motherfucker. You don't mess with him. Alright? It's like, and in a falls count anywhere match with Big Zeke, you just continue running.
So let me get this straight. Big Zeke is apparently Chuck Norris.
He is not my friend.
When Big Zeke jumps in a river, he doesn't get wet. The river gets Big Zeke. That sucked.
Big Zeke doesn't play in traffic. Traffic plays with Big Zeke.
You know, I'm just going to finish up saying this one quick thing about Zack Ryder. Who did you piss off backstage? I'm serious. Who did the guy piss off backstage to get like this?
He pissed off Big Zeke. That's what happened.
The all seriousness, though. I mean, damn, this guy is just... I mean, you know, Cavill, yeah, that's pretty bad. But I think Zack Ryder is getting buried even worse, though. Because at least Cavill, yeah, it looks like, oh, maybe he's got a chance with Ryder now. The guy, at least he's got his music back, his entrance theme back, so that's okay. But that's a still sorry. Really, I don't know what happened to the guy. I don't know. He's probably going through this. He's probably done the same thing. What's his face?
Chris WWE didn't want Undertaker to be the only one buried this season.
I thought you weren't doing any bad puns.
I'm sorry.
But you're right. I mean, Zack Ryder is... I mean, he's the Brooklyn Brawler of 2010. And this guy could not get a win unless it was a joke. You know, the only time Zack Ryder will actually get a win on Raw is if someone comes in, screws with the match, and then lays his prone body over the top of his opponent. I'm sorry, Zach. I mean, you've been here for God knows how many years, and this is all you can get. Well, unfortunately, when you sign up for a Jersey Shore ripoff, or rather, I don't even know. He was probably doing this act before the Jersey Shore actually went on the air. But regardless, you're playing, you know, the fool character, and you're playing the tool. So this is what you're going to get. Sorry, buddy. Now back to Big Zeke. That is one big scary man. He has arms the size of his own head.
Oh, yeah. That is freaking scary. He is absolutely scary, man. He's actually good at also, too. He's got decent mic skills. Been a chance.
No offense, but you're going to have decent mic skills when you can make everyone in the arena shit their pants by one step. It doesn't matter. All right.
Yeah, true.
He can just say, he'll still have badass mic skills just on pure fear alone.
Well, okay, size doesn't actually equate to that. I mean, we have the perfect example of size not equaling, not being able to override Mike skills, and that's the Big Kali.
Oh yeah,
but the big Kali isn't scary. It's Big Zeke has muscles bigger than the Great Kali.
True.
I know. Big Zeke.
If you put Big Zeke and Great Kali in an arm wrestling match, the Great Kali will be one arm short.
So tell me this. Are you a fan of Big Zeke?
God, no. I'm scared to death of him.
All right, we're going to go on to the next match here and let Timmy update his restraining order.
It doesn't matter how far away he is. His muscles still can get into the limits.
All right, next segment here we have... Raw's guest host for the night, Pee Wee Herman, coming out, which ends up being interrupted by The Miz and Alex Riley. And I'm not going to care to explain, so fuck Miz. Big Show comes out, and then he said that he's Pee Wee Herman's cousin or some shit. And then Michael Cole says during the segment how embarrassing this was for Miz. Cole, shut the fuck up. You're an embarrassment to announcing in general. And then we have the anonymous general manager chiming in. And then we have Miz going up against the Big Show. This match ends in a disqualification when Miz uses a briefcase on Big Show. You guys' thoughts?
Pee Wee Herman is just... Okay. I hate Raw guest hosts. I really do. But this was Pee Wee Herman, not Paul Rubens. Because if it was Paul Rubens, this probably would have been a terrible segment. But we had a character coming to a show that had other characters. I can see where this would work or where this would fail badly. In my opinion, it worked. Mainly because I grew up watching Pee Wee Herman. Mainly... because the old saying goes, if when crack's not enough, you just watch the Pee Wee Herman show. But uh,
I love this segment so much, mainly because it's showing how far The Miz is going down the totem pole, where he's now the one amusing the guest host. But I just, everything was so reminiscent of the 90s of how he says, like, I know you are one of my thoughts. And the child in me loved it. Then Big Zeke ate the child in me. But still, it was a great segment, in my opinion, and you don't mess with little Pete. I can't do the Pee Wee Herman voice, but I can't do any voices. But still, I love this segment, and the match afterwards was decent at best. It was Big Show versus The Miz. But goddamn, if you hated Pee Wee Herman, you had no childhood or you're too young and you should be kicked really hard in your genitals. That's all I'm going to say. You soulless motherfuckers.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with Timmy that the segment was, I thought it was funny at times, really funny. Alex Riley actually proved to be a lot more entertaining than The Miz on that segment there. It was a better segment than last week, The Miz, and another couple of segments The Miz has cut it recently, like I've said. But it was a good segment. Match-wise, I absolutely hate both The Miz and Big Show when it comes to in-ring ability. I've always hated Big Show a long time ago. But this was actually an okay match. It was decent. I mean, I think maybe there was a small chance The Miz would have won. Even if it was cheating-wise, I think there might have been a small chance that he would have won. But other than that, it was actually a decent segment, decent match, you know. I don't really have anything else to say about it.
Pee-wee Herman. Wow, you got old, man. You got old. What am I supposed to say to this? Honestly, I mean, it's Pee-wee friggin' Herman making fun of Miz and Riley. And then the Big Show coming down in a Pee-wee Herman outfit that is gargantuan-sized. I can't make fun of this any more than it can already make fun of itself, so let's just move on.
Alrighty. We had Daniel Bryan versus Teddy Biasi here. And it was good that four-minute match. You know, Daniel Bryan gets the win with the LaBelle lock. And then after the match is over, DiBiase was yelling at Maurice, and he's like, I can't focus. I need my championship back. So they said they're going to NXT tomorrow night, and they're going to interrupt Goldust and Oksana's wedding, and they're going to take back the $1 million championship. You guys' thoughts?
Okay, match. That's all I could say. I was actually surprised that Dolph Ziggler was not facing Daniel Bryan, considering that WWE likes to let shit drag on for ages. Overall, it was a commercial for NXT. Let's be realistic. Camera zoomed in, microphone got loud, and said, we're going to NXT tomorrow to get my title back because he's a thief. And I'm pretty sure that I want to go back to Pee-wee Herman. He was funny.
Okay, the match was a decent match. I can't really think of any spots that I enjoyed about the match. It was a decent match. I liked it. Maurice looked really nice in a you know, outfit, and that's what
hands
above
the table.
That's all. I mean, that's the. I mean, Michael Cole saying that Daniel Bryan's a peeping Tom. I mean, that was kind of interesting. Other than that, the match was nice. Can I just say one thing? The crowd for Daniel Bryan was, I really hated this crowd, but the pops Daniel Bryan got and the crowd was really into him. That I really enjoyed that. But that's the only high spot when it comes to the crowd anyway today. But it was a decent match. Ted DiBiase, this guy needs, think about this. He's got so much talent and he does have charisma somewhere, but personality is really bleak. I've always thought Cody better start anyway, but there's just something that Ted needs to sooner rather than later in his career. He's lucky that he's not going to use this whole his father's, so-and-so, but that is one reason why he's here, because of the gimmick is kind of saving him, because he's pretty generic, to be honest.
Yeah, anyway. Because the Million Dollar Man, even if he wasn't the Million Dollar Man, he had like this natural evil charisma to go with him. That laugh the original Million Dollar Man had is so infectious that I actually want it as a ringtone. It's so badass.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, the guy needs a gimmick, but he is not playing the gimmick well as Cody's playing his own gimmick. Even though his gimmick is just so dry all the time. At least Cody's playing his gimmick well. Ted is not, and that's the problem. I want to see Ted do well, but I don't know. If they give him Maurice and he's still not doing nothing, the only reason why he's got Maurice is to gain him more heat. And he still seems to be nowhere. Nothing. I just hope he could sort himself out.
I gotta say, you guys said basically everything. Danny Bryan was pretty on point for the most part. It was a good match. The kicks were just brutal. Not quite as brutal as the ones he was putting on Dolph, but at Bragging Rights, but definitely. Those looked like they were gonna do some serious pain. But the thing I gotta say though, I hate the LaBell lock. I know everyone's going to probably hate me for saying it, but I can't stand that the way he does that. It looks rather uncomfortable with the way he does it. And considering he's supposed to be a submission specialist and he has some badass submissions in his arsenal, I just think that the LaBell lock, either the opponents aren't quite selling it right or he's not selling it right, because let's be honest, the LaBell lock is pretty much the exact same thing as the Crippler Crossface.
Not the Crippler Crossface, because WWE does not have any more Chris Benoit shit. How dare you say such a bullshittery like that?
No, it's not just that. The Crippler Crossface looked a bit different, though.
I said it's basically.
I was being an asshole.
I know you were being an asshole, but the way you take someone down, wrap them up, and then throw that on is basically the same maneuver. The way of getting them to the mat is basically the same maneuver. The difference is that instead of doing a grapevine around the left arm, you're actually locking it in with a leg lock instead of a traditional grapevine and just putting it into your thighs. That being said, the move itself is just – there's something – awkward about the way that he's applying it, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but it almost seems like the guys are like, oh wait, I'm supposed to drop now. Like it doesn't look very smooth. The best thing about the Crippler Crossface was that it looked smooth. It was always, the arm drag takedown, boom, it's in there. The move was on in the guy before he even hit the ground. And I as much as I love Daniel Bryan, and as much as I'm a fan of him, and I'm a huge fan of his style of wrestling, that move looks a little bit like it's missing something. It's missing a certain smoothness to its application. And, I'm hoping that it'll turn around. I really am, because I think it's one of those moves that they need to play up that it can happen at any time by having it come out of weird places. Like, it puts a guy in a schoolboy, and then as he's rolling through the schoolboy, all of a sudden, holy crap, there's a little bell lock. I didn't even see that coming. And that's the kind of stuff we need to see from that. But all in all, the match was good, way too short. Again, got two guys that can get it done in the ring, and you give them 4 minutes to play to do what they got to do. Bullshit. Basically a promo just to watch NXT 3 tomorrow night online. Preferably drunk.
Where's my gong?
Bong.
All right. We had Natty and Michelle McCool pants off.
wait a second. McCool was out there, so half on.
No. We had Lita earlier too, so pants off.
Ah, fuck it. All right.
Hey, no, X. Pants equations are the reason, are the founding foundations of 7X Wrestling Radio. It's a proven fact. So we need to get this right. Okay, well, fine. Lita completely off. You may continue, good sir.
Okay, we had Natty and Michelle McCool in this match. If Natty won, then she would get another shot at the Divas Championship, like we didn't know that was coming anyways. So Natalya gets a victory here. We're going to get another championship match between Natalya and Lay Cool. Your guys' thoughts?
Who cares?
Last thought when it comes to Divas.
A 10, hut! Natty's on TV. I am standing at full attention.
Layla looks hot, isn't it?
Yeah, she always does.
Yeah. What else is there to say about this? Actually, you know what? I'm going to take this serious. I know I always talk about how pretty the Divas look, and I never really bother matches. But there was a nice, I think it was a German suplex. I think she, Natalya done on Michelle McCool. That was, you know, that was a nice German. Some shit she done. I don't even remember. This is not really, I can't really say anything. Maybe they should have been wearing. Golem stars.
You had probably two of the best Diva competitors in the ring. I mean, as much as we love to beat and kind of bash on Michelle McCool and Layla, Michelle McCool is a very talented performer in the ring. She's probably one of the top, as far as being in the main event scene, as far as Divas go, at getting TV time, she is definitely one of the more experienced up there, and she can get it done in the ring. Put her in a ring with Natalya, who, as we know, is incredibly talented, very strong, and really needs to be champion and give some prestige to the title, even though it looks like a bloody butterfly. I'm not surprised that we had a good match. I'm not surprised that there were some good spots and there's some excellent moves and wrestling going on. Unfortunately, everything with Lay Cool has to turn into the screw job ending, or at least an attempt at a screw job ending. And it makes it less interesting because you know it's where it's coming from. You know that it's going to happen. And even Layla is getting to be a very, very strong competitor in her own right. I mean, I don't know who's been training her, but she's definitely been working her ass off. Well, not her ass off, because that's still very present and accounted for.
Ah, ha, 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 ha.
Hey, well, I have to make comments like this. I'm contractually obligated. But I'm glad that there is wrestling in the Divas division. I'm a little bit upset that at times there's more wrestling in the Divas division than there is in the regular division. That's a little disturbing to me. But, hey, that's WWE. And tonight was Bizarro night, thanks to Pee Wee Herman.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And that's it.
The show's not over yet. Because
yes,
we have to talk about the McMahon segment.
I don't want to talk about the main event segment. It's
The McMahon segment.
Oh, the McMahon segment.
Yeah. Where Vince
Fuck
is in
you,
his papa.
Okay. Talk about
okay.
it.
Okay. Backstage, we have Freddie Prinze Jr. playing doctor with his favorite patient, Vince McMahon, who is in a fucking coma. Okay, Vince, two days ago, you were speaking at the WWE Appreciation Day shit, and now you're back in a coma. Okay, it makes a lot of sense. But, anyways...
It's still real to me, damn it.
He got blown up and showed up the next night.
Well,
that's commitment.
He is committed to this product, man. He will show up on TV even if he has to brave hellfire and brimstone and cars exploding. He came out of a coma just to do that appearance and then drop back in. That is dedication, right. God damn it.
Okay. Anyways, Freddie's like he said Vince doesn't get many visitors while he's in his coma, but at least his wife shows up for a visit. And he mentions the fact that Linda spent $50 million on her Santa campaign. And then Vince fucking wakes up and he's like, what? $50 million? What? And then Freddie Prinze Jr. just tells Vince McMahon of what has happened in the WWE since he's been gone, since the Nexus attacked him. Like, well, Vince already knew this shit already, but still... Saying that Undertaker's been buried alive, Nexus was stronger than ever, and then John Cena was in the Nexus. And he also says that Paul Bearer's back, Goldust is getting married, and Pee Wee Herman's running fucking Monday Night Raw. And Vince is like, well, I think the next thing you're going to tell me is that Daniel Bryan's the United States champion. And... and yes. So Vince tries to get up to his feet, because he says he's got to go to the bathroom. And then Vince is like, well, if my wife can run for Senate, then I could be the President of the United States. And then we get a shot of Stephanie McMahon. I mean, she gets up from bed, and she says she had the weirdest dream, which was, you know, fucking Vince and shit. And then she...
Wait, her dream was fucking Vince. Did you look at the Vince's storyline?
No! Tim, no! I did not mean that. No!
This is why you don't read the fan fiction while watching the actual show.
Oh, I'm fucking doing that shit.
You have two smart asses on the show. You're screwed if you're going to mess up words.
Fuck. Well, anyways, we hear Triple H's voice in that statement, and we put it to bed there. Your guys' thoughts?
You're a sick man. That's my thought.
Oh, fuck you.
You won, you sick creepo, man.
Leave me alone. X is not to come within 1,000 feet of...
go fuck yourself.
Despite this being a Linda McMahon campaign, because that's all it was, I found this thing to be hysterical. From Vince wanting to run to president, to Stephanie McMahon waking up in a coma, to Triple H saying to the communication they had, like, honey, is my father still in a coma? Yeah, I think he's brain dead too, by the way. This was one of those brilliantly run segments that I think Vince wrote, and I liked it. And I'm a huge fan of Freddie Prinze Jr. with WWE because you know there needs to be a connection between wrestlers and the writing team, and the writing team wrestlers obviously don't get along. You could tell by the shitty storylines. Like, oh, God, I had to go through this shit. But this was hands down, one of the funniest things that ever came out of this Linda McMahon campaign. As for Vince, as for X wanting to see Vince and Stephanie.
No, fuck you. I did not want to see that shit.
You mentioned it, man.
What? Aw.
Dude, that's so wrong.
Main event.
I like how you show us Reed and Stars. That's, you know, that's a good host of
show us on, show us on the show us on the doll where they touched you, Dex.
Can I just say one thing about this segment? It felt like a little bit of the Attitude Era, and that's why I liked it so much. It felt like a little piece of the Attitude Era, and that's why I enjoyed that the whole segment. I liked it. It was cool and funny.
It was a very, very well done segment. I mean, even down to the point where they even managed to, if you look behind it a little bit, you actually explain why Freddie Prinze Jr. suddenly randomly showed up in it as well. Because it's Stephanie McMahon dreaming. And she dreams about Freddie Prinze Jr. Who, by the way, is probably one of the bigger dorks in Hollywood. And I don't mean that in like a derogatory term. From the references I've seen his name in that I guess his people or he has to approve, he gets the most he's always associated with the most random shit. I remember seeing his name pop up in a couple of comic books. There was a comic book where the Hulk was having dinner with the Hulk's girlfriend. So when the Hulk broke loose, he went to try and eat Freddie Prinze Jr. And so he's running through New York screaming, Hulk smash Freddie Prinze Jr. in the comic book. You don't get away with this stuff unless you get the actor's approval. And he seems like a genuine dork, and I can appreciate that. The whole segment was fantastic. Triple H, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's brain dead. Fantastic. And you're right. It did have a little bit of that Attitude Era, you know, kind of style to it where, you know, you think you're about to see Mr. McMahon's ass and it's, you know, the Linda's opponent's banner stuck to his backside. Little things like that. I mean, you don't need, and all this stuff is still G. I mean, not G. It might be G, but it's also PG. All this stuff's PG. You can have a little bit of reference. You can have a little bit of innuendo. You can have a little bit of violence. You can have a little bit of language. It's still PG. You don't have to push it in any way, shape, or form. PG is a huge distance that you can travel with it. So let the writers have some fun with it. Let them do the stuff that they want to do. Make the storylines a little bit better. For God's sakes, you got the kids already. Now it's time to let them grow up with the WWE. And screw Linda. I hope she loses.
Hell yes, I want Linda McMahon to lose that fucking Senate race tomorrow. So Linda, we will be laughing our ass off all fucking day long when you do lose.
Can I just say, I don't actually care.
Of course you don't care, you're in England.
Exactly.
Come on, do you really want WWE politics in American politics?
Yeah, think
you
about
have to be our allies.
Of course not.
Yeah, exactly. Just listen. If Vince runs for president, you do know he's just gonna come to your country doing that swagger walk. He does go, just, no chance. Basically says, you know what, Parliament? Screw you. And he's gonna have Stone Cold run in and stun everybody. And then, well, you know, Vince owns England, so I hope you're happy with yourself because you said you didn't care. Meanwhile, we're laughing our ass off because you're England. You got, you know, Stone Cold just stunned everyone.
You know what? Honestly, I think the Queen could probably take Vince at this point. Just saying. I wouldn't want to see him in a fight, but, you know.
You know, that would be an epic match. It's just Vince versus the Queen. Could that be the main event? Can we bullshit about the rest of the podcast and say that Vince versus the Queen of England was the main event?
Sorry, but we cannot do that. We are obligated
Raw. We're not obligated to do shit.
Yes, we are, damn it. We're going to talk about this fucking shit.
Two words. David Otunga. That's motivation for me.
No. It's David. Listen, I can't wrestle for shit, Otunga.
Listen, I have it in my contract.
Stick with that. That is an awesome name. Stick with that. Anyone that says Otunga from this forward will get fired. It's David. You know, anyone that says Otunga gets fired from this point forward.
Okay, so if I say that, do I not have to talk about the main event?
Yeah, that's a good plan. But it said, hold on. It says so in my contract right here, page 17, section 2, line C, Timmy 5000 does not have to talk about a main event that features a no-talentless, hack-dated, no-wrestle-ability Otunga. Signed by Extremist and Timmy 5000 and Dark Menace and SARS as credible witnesses. I am not talking about this main event.
I was not a credible witness. I was drunk.
Shut up.
Oh. Well, that's funny, Tim, because I don't remember us signing any agreements here.
Well, you were not.
Sure,
that's
you.
Not my fault. I punched you. It looks like your signature, which is close enough for me.
It's just an X.
All right, I'm going to let my friend lead you this bit, okay? Thank you, Tim. This was a boring match because Otunga cannot wrestle. He is not my friend. Wait, I was in this match. Why am I calling it boring? This was a great match. Randy Orton is my friend. And it was Eve Torres. I thought she was my friend, too. She was supposed to do the weird walk thing with me. Anyway, I got the crowd crunked up, and the crowd's my friend. So I got the pin in this match because Cena's my friend. Even though I think he screwed me up in the middle, it was a great match, and I hope to do it again. I love being the main event because the main event is my friend.
Can you repeat that? The main event is your
friend. Why are you making fun of me? I thought you were my friend, X. I don't understand what's so funny. You know, I thought we were friends. Yo, this is the last time I come to your podcast because you're making fun of me. And I don't like being made fun of. I'm going to go get my friend John Cena. And we're going to go get crunk. He's a white boy, but he will understand what it means by the end of the night. Because we are friends.
Dugui is our friend. Talk.
Okay, I'm just going to say, Randy Orton
is not my friend.
He was entertaining, kind of, tonight. To be honest, mate, man, this sucked, innit? I mean, this podcast sucked, innit?
Why would you say that? She was supposed to be our friend.
I'm sorry, it's been poor, man. Decent match. You know, Orton was entertaining. Cena was entertaining. And I got some reps for them too tonight because they were actually entertaining for once. So, well, it's been a long time since John Cena and Randy Orton at the same time has been entertaining. But tonight, yeah, I'm going to give them props for being entertaining tonight. So, well done, Cena. Well done,
Orton. I still hate you guys. But you did good tonight. So give yourselves a clap. And David O, I can't even remember the rest of it. Tonga. He has proved that he can't wrestle for shit because that guy sucked again. You know, R-Truth was entertaining at times. But, you know, the whole match was good. So, I'm just going to leave this with Sars to have his final analysis of this whole match. Go on.
Shit sucks!
I will say one thing about this main event. Cena performed more moves in this main event than any other main event I have seen him in. Isn't that right, R-Truth?
Yeah. Yeah, to impress his friends. Anyway, this match was really, I mean, I thought for sure that the only reason Otunga got into there was to be a sacrificial lamb to feed to Randy Orton. But Randy, and you know what? Fuck it. I don't really want to talk about it. I only want to talk about one aspect of this entire match, and then I'm going to let this thing slide. And that is, what was up with the fingers in the air thing Randy was doing after running over both of the guys from Nexus? It was the most random goddamn thing I've seen in a while. And it was like kind of like a face thing to do, like a play to the crowd. But it looked so awkward when he did it.
Because Orton sucks as a face. That is a proven statement.
Man.
Yes, so yes, rate the episode.
I gave it a friend out of 10.
A friend out of 10.
Fuck, I couldn't even rate this episode. It's
very forgettable, to be honest. Despite how long we're talking about it, then again, we're just being bullshitting. I'll give it a 7.5 just on the pure Vince McMahon statement. Segment, and R-Truth, we're still friends, dog.
Thank you, Tim. I'm glad you're my friend.
I'm just gonna rate. Let me have the final rate. I'm gonna give it a 7 out of 10. The reason why the matches didn't excite me, but the fact that they actually managed to use majority of the whole roster was very impressive. Even if there was just in a little bit of segments and all, it was very interesting the fact that they managed to use nearly their whole roster, so I give them props on that. Other than that, the matches weren't exciting. The promos were okay. I'm giving it a 7. Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to give this shit a 5.
If you give it something higher, I'll be your friend.
We don't want you to be our friend. We want you to be our friend.
Friend.
No. I'm your friend. All right.
Timmy, the way you say that makes me think you have a big van with blacked out windows.
Come to my little van, kiddies. I have free candy. You know you can't drive a van around that says free candy on Halloween?
Anyway, my review of Raw is that it's a... I'm going to agree with X and see. I go with a 5 out of 10 on this. I mean, it was... The wrestling was piss poor in almost every... I mean, at no point during the entire night was there a match where I sat there and went, yes, wrestling. So, bong.
I have received a message from the anonymous general manager. And
yeah,
I quote,
degrees cannot finish this shit.
You are no, Tammy 5000. You are no longer to impersonate badly R-Truth and his essence. If you were to continue to do so, we'll send Big Zeke to your house. Oh, God, I better stop.
Don't worry. Big Zeke can be your friend.
Stop that.
Okay. All right, friends and family.
Stop
that. This is our call review tonight. Stay Simply 7.
Stay Simply 7, my friends. Oh, God.